Mahimamsa upasata. Savai me darshitam sadbhir. Anjasa vindate padam. Sa, of the devotees of the Lord, Sangha, by association, Labdaya, obtained, Bhaktya, by devotion, Mai, unto me, Mam, of me, Sa, he, Upasata, worshipper, Sa, that very person, Vai, undoubtedly, may, my, darshitam, revealed, shadbi, by my pure devotees, anjasa, very easily, avindate, achieves, padam, my lotus feet, or my eternal abode. Translation, one who has obtained pure devotional service by association with my devotees always engages in worshipping me. Thus, he very easily goes to my abode, which is revealed by my pure devotees. Purport, in the previous verses, Lord Krishna has emphasized the value of surrender to him in loving service. One may ask how such surrender or devotion is actually achieved. The Lord gives the answer in this verse. One must live in a society of devotees, and thus automatically one will be engaged 24 hours a day in the various processes of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtan, and Smaranam. The pure devotees of the Lord can reveal the spiritual world by their transcendental sound vibration, making it possible for even a neophyte devotee to experience the Lord's abode. Being thus enlivened, the neophyte makes further progress and gradually becomes qualified to personally serve the personality of God in the spiritual world. By constantly associating with devotees and learning from them about devotional science, one quickly achieves a deep attachment for the Lord and the Lord's service, and such attachment gradually matures into pure love of Godhead. Foolish persons say that the various mantras composed of names of God as well as all other mantras are merely material creations with no special value, and therefore any so-called mantras or mystical process will ultimately produce the same result. To review such superficial thinking, the Lord here describes the science of going back home, back to Godhead. One should not accept the bad association of impersonalists who state the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord are Maya or illusion. Maya is actually an insignificant potency of the almighty personality of Godhead. And if one ignorantly tries to elevate illusion above the absolute truth, one will never experience love of God and will be cast into deep forgetfulness of the Lord. One should not associate with those who are envious of the fortunate devotees who are going back to Godhead. Such envious persons deride the abode of the Lord, which is revealed by the pure devotees to those who have faith in the Lord's message. Envious persons create disturbances among people in general who should take shelter of the faithful devotees of the Lord. Unless people hear from pure devotees, it is impossible for them to understand that there is a supreme personality of God eternally existing in its own abode, which is self-luminous, full of bliss and knowledge. In this verse, the importance of Sangha association is clearly explained. Translation, one who has obtained pure devotional service by association with my devotees always engages in worshipping me. Thus, he very easily goes to my abode, which is revealed by my pure devotees. So, in the last verse, Krishna explained the process of bhakti. And here he describes the result and as well the cause. So, as I said yesterday, bhakti does not have a material cause. It is not caused by the gunas. It is not caused by karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga. Not caused by varnashram. Not caused by being a brahmana. Not caused by sattva-gun. Not caused by non-violence or whatever. It doesn't have a material cause. So what is the cause of bhakti? Must have some cause, because a lot of people don't have bhakti and some people do. So how does it arise? As is said here, satsanga labdaya. It is obtained by satsanga. Association with people who are sat, proper, by people who are devotees. So how is it possible that devotion arises by association with people? Because people are just bodies, they're also material. The point is that the satsanga actually is not the material body that we're associating with. When we associate with devotees, we're not associating with material bodies. So what is that association, the essence of the association of devotees? So the essence of the association of devotees is that the devotee has bhakti. So we're associating with the bhakti in the devotee. Devotee means a person who has devotion. So when we associate with devotees, we absorb that bhakti. There is a verse in Sanskrit that says that if we have a crystal, nice clear crystal, and we put it next to the red flower, and then it looks red. If we put it next to the yellow flower, it looks yellow. And we put it next to the leaf, it looks green. So in the same way that the crystal picks up the color of what it's close to, so people also pick up the qualities of the person they're close to. So it's in other words, it's saying that very easily we become influenced by other people. So if you had asat sangha, you pick up asat qualities. Just like putting the crystal next to the red flower, it becomes reddish. So if we go next to an asat person, we also tend to reflect that, absorb that asat nature of the other person. So in other words, it's very easy to get influenced by other people. So that means that sangha, or association with people, is a big influence on us. Very, very big influence. That, of course, is, if we examine very carefully, we'll see that is actually true. That people are influenced by their association. So children are influenced by their parents. It's the prime influence because they're always with the parents when they're young. So they're very much influenced by that. And whatever habits the parents have, you'll find that children also generally going to have the same habits and qualities and stuff as the parents. And then we find that later on the children run away from home and they distance themselves from the parents and they have other associations. And then they get influenced by that. Influenced by their friends. Whatever. It is a big factor in the material world. So, just as it plays a big factor in the material world, it also plays a big factor in spiritual life. Even though it's a little bit different, the same effect is there. Of course, in the spiritual life, it is a very positive effect. And it's also a little bit different what the association is there. So, in the material world, we pick up all the bad qualities of a bad person, more or less, that's what happens, or the good qualities of a good person. So what happens in devotion? What do we pick up? So in a sense, yes, we also pick up qualities and activities and things like that. But the real importance is that the devotee has bhakti. And bhakti is in the atma. That's where it resides. Just like the Lord resides in the heart, so bhakti also resides there. And when we associate with devotees, what are we getting association with? That influence of bhakti. And what does it do? It influences our heart. It influences our atma. So this is a spiritual influence, in other words. So in the same way we get all the material influence due to gunas by associating with different people, so in the same way we associate with devotees, we get that spiritual influence, the bhakti. So this is the method by which bhakti appears in an individual. But bhakti is not created. Otherwise, it's temporary. Anything spiritual should be eternal. It cannot be created. So bhakti also cannot be created. If it's spiritual, it must be eternal. So how does this work? So if I suddenly bhakti appears in me, is it created? No, it is simply transferred. So and then we say, okay, it's in the devotee, and the devotee gives it to another person or somehow influences another person, they pick up bhakti also. But then where did it come from in that person, the devotee? How did the devotee get it? So we can trace it back to another devotee, another devotee, another devotee. Ultimately, of course, it comes from Krishna. So bhakti is eternal in the spiritual world with Krishna. It enters into the devotees, and the devotees transfer it to other people in the material world. So in that way, it remains eternal. So that is why Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion, when he describes sadhana bhakti, then he makes the point, it is not created. It simply appears in the heart. It's a nitya siddha bhava, and it appears within the heart. It doesn't. It's not created. So how does it appear? It appears through the devotional association. It appears through Krishna. It's not anything material. So this is the way in which bhakti begins. And as one advances in devotional service, one's devotion begins to grow, and then when one succeeds in bhakti, one enters into the stage of bhava. So bhava actually, where did that come from? Again, we have bhakti, and then we have bhava, and we have prema. So it is all eternal. It is all coming from the spiritual world. So it's nitya siddha bhava. It's not created. It simply appears within us. So it all starts with sadhu sangha, or association with devotees. Now, of course, we can also have the Lord himself doing it. It's also possible. But the normal course is it's through a devotional association. Sometimes the Lord is extraordinarily merciful, and he will give mercy directly, as he gives to Putana or somebody like that. But normally, we'll see that devotion appears through devotees. And so we'll have many stories in the Bhagavatam to illustrate this. We have in the first canto the story of Narada Muni. So how did he get devotion? Association with the devotees in a Chaturmasya period. And he started hearing, he took the prasadam, and he developed taste, and he began to hear the topics, and they allowed him to listen. So through that association, then he developed his bhakti. That's one story. Then we see the other story in the fourth canto, Dhruva. So how did he get his devotion? He met Narada Muni. Narada Muni started giving him instructions. And by the mercy of Narada Muni, then he followed the instructions, and then eventually he saw the Lord. Again, mercy and association of devotees. So that's the normal process. Fifth canto, again, what we see, Rahugana, how he got mercy, he got from Jadbharat. Yeah, the mercy of Jadbharat, in spite of the fact that Rahugana offended him and called him names and did everything. Still, devotee was very merciful, and he got very, very great mercy from him and began devotional service. So this is the normal process. Why the Lord doesn't simply appear in the heart? Why it goes to the devotees? Because the Lord likes to glorify the devotees. So the devotees become the medium for spreading bhakti of the Lord. The Lord prefers that process rather than doing it directly. So he, in other words, he empowers the devotees to give out devotion. Obviously, different devotees have different amounts of bhakti because they're at different stages. They may have little shraddha, which is a little bit of bhakti, and then they may go through an artha nirvritti and come to nishtha. They have more bhakti, and then ruchi and asakti, more bhakti, and then bhava and prema. So prema is the 100% bhakti position. And Shraddha is the minimal position. If it's less than that, then we don't call him a devotee. So Shraddha is a little bit, and he's the borderline case, and then suddenly we say, oh, he's a devotee because he has faith. So there's very little bhakti. And then we have the final result, which is prema, 100% bhakti, no influence of Maya, nothing at all. So in between that stage, we'll have all sorts of devotees with different amounts of bhakti. So, therefore, these are the persons that can give bhakti to others. But according to the amount of bhakti, obviously, the person will have less or more potency. So a person on prema will have a lot of potency, and a person on shraddha will have less potency. Nevertheless, it's bhakti, in any case. So therefore, anybody in any of these stages, they can also distribute the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So essentially, it is actually Krishna's bhakti. It's not our bhakti anyway. It's coming from the spiritual world, so it doesn't belong to us. So it's only passing through us. So Prabhupada uses the example of the transparent via media. So the devotee is the transparent via media for that devotion, the bhakti shakti. And of course, the more transparent you are, then the more bhakti comes through. And the less transparent and more impurities we have, the less bhakti comes through. So it is like one example is different conductors of electricity. So copper is a good conductor of electricity. Iron is not very good, or aluminum is not very good. I don't know if they conduct at all. And I think gold is the best. Silver and gold are the best conductors of electricity. So there's a little resistance in some, more resistance in others, and more in others, so that we don't even use them for conducting electricity. So in the same way, we can say that the prema bhakta is like the gold or the silver, and very good conductors of Krishna's bhakti shakti. And therefore, very powerfully, they can spread prema or bhakti in the material world. And someone with shraddha has very little bhakti, but there's something there, so he can also spread. But the potency is less. But in any case, all of these devotees are beneficial for the material world. They can do something in the material world. Of course, there's another problem, because those people who are in prema, generally, the uttamadhikaris, they don't preach. They see no necessity to preach, because everything is Krishna's mercy. Everybody's a devotee. They see everything is Krishna, and everything is Krishna's related to Krishna. So they don't see any fault in the material world. Everything is perfect. And they're absorbed in Krishna all the time. So they don't really preach that much and give out their mercy. So the main preaching work of associating and cultivating bhakti belongs to the Madhyamadhikaris, who make differentiations between non-devotee and devotee, and different types of devotees, the Kanishthas, Madhyamas, and Uttamas. So they are the ones that mainly carry out the preaching work. Nevertheless, even though they are not 100% bhakti, still, they become the main medium for preaching. So Krishna uses the Madhyamadhikari to spread bhakti. They communicate bhakti and spread it throughout the material world. So this is the way in which bhakti is manifest within devotees, by other devotees. So that is why in the Bhagavatam we'll find that association with devotees is considered very, very important, and is emphasized over and over again. Lord Chaitanya also, in his discussion with Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy gave many verses to glorify devotion, and when Ramananda Roy gave a verse that said we should associate with devotees and hear the topics of Krishna, and then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is good. That association to hear the topics of Krishna and association of devotees is very, very potent to produce bhakti. What is that association? It can take very different forms. Associate can mean closeness. That can be association. That also works. Simply proximity to devotees also influences. Just like we put the crystal next to the red flower, it turns reddish. So in the same way, devotees can also influence people simply by association to some degree. But usually when we talk about devotion, our association, we mean something a little different. That is, the hearing process, that we hear from the devotees. That is the usual type of association we mean. So, and
the association becomes potent when there's receptivity. If we have opposition, obviously, it's very difficult to communicate, and the influence is less. And so when there's favorability, then it's easy to communicate. So that is why one of the qualifications for knowledge is pranipat. What is pranipat? Surrender. Paripadena, pranipatena, parishprasena, sevaya. Pranipat means to bow down, literally. So surrender, or humility. So if we have an attitude of humility, then it is easy for getting knowledge. If we have an attitude of pride, and we think this person probably doesn't know anything, so I'm not going to listen to him, then we don't get any knowledge. It's impossible to get knowledge if we have a barrier. So, we have to have humility, have favorability, eagerness for knowledge. Therefore, pariprashna is there, eagerness to get the knowledge. If we don't want the knowledge, obviously, whatever anyone speaks, we won't absorb it. So, we have to have that eagerness for knowledge. We have to have the humility to accept, you know, the authority of knowledge. So, these are very important in that sangha, when we associate. And then the devotee speaks and gives knowledge. So what is that knowledge? Is it why can't we just get knowledge from the book? Why we say satsanga and we don't say book sangha or whatever? Huh? Association with devotees, not with a book. So the reason is that the example is given of the crystal and the flower, yes? That together then very easily transforms it. So it is that association with people that causes transformation more than with a book. Book can do it also, but association with people is more influential. And that is why children associate with parents and they're very easily influenced, because that human relationships cause influence, greater influence. So this is the association with devotees. Nevertheless, the devotee gives knowledge. He speaks and he gives knowledge. So what is that knowledge? That knowledge also is a little different, because that knowledge is only transmitted under certain circumstances. One, the person is a knower of knowledge. He knows he has tattva, and the person receiving has to have certain qualifications of pranipat, pariprashna, seva. Then the knowledge goes. Material knowledge isn't like that so much. You can just, go to the university. You don't have to surrender to anybody. You just memorize it all, write your exam. You got your knowledge and you pass and you get your degree. So you don't need the qualifications. But actual spiritual knowledge is a little different. He needs a qualification, and the person has to be tattvavit. He has to have some realization of that knowledge. So we say that the words of scripture coming from the mouth of the avaishnava, one who's not a Vaishnava, one with no faith, is like poison. It's ultimately material, even though it's the same knowledge. It's harikata. It is pure. But when it comes out of the mouth of a non-Vaishnava, one who does not believe in God, it doesn't have a spiritual effect. It's material. Same words, same sentences, but it becomes material. And it comes out of a person with faith, then it becomes harikata, which is, powerful. Completely different effect. So, that knowledge is there, and when it comes out of the mouth of a devotee who has faith, then it becomes spiritual knowledge. And we can get the spiritual knowledge. So, it's not just the words that are coming out, the bhakti is being transmitted through that also. So the words take on devotional shakti, and then we hear them, then it enters into our atma, our heart. So that is the process of receiving mercy and getting knowledge and bhakti. If on the other hand, we associate intimately with a materialistic person, then we get the opposite. We get asat influence, great asat influence. So if we intimately associate with the materialist, then we'll very easily pick up that type of influence. So if we have humility and curiosity and whatever to the materialist, then it is very dangerous because very easily we'll pick up that influence. Pranipat and Seva should be reserved for association with devotees, and then we can get real beneficial influence upon us. So in this way, one gets the Shraddha is there. We have a favorable attitude, but which brings us to inquire from devotees. Then the bhakti begins to develop. Here it says that one begins to worship the Lord. A person begins to worship the Lord. And what is the result? The process is followed as in the previous verses, that one listens to the topics of the Lord, one chants, one remembers, one does that process, and through that what happens? Then Vindade Padam Anjasa. Very easily one attains the Supreme Lord. One attains the spiritual world. So this is the goal in one sense. Of course, for the devotee, the goal is not simply to see the Lord or attain the Lord's abode. That is actually also a secondary result. Just like liberation from the material world, destruction of karma, destruction of suffering, it's also a secondary result. The devotee is, that primary goal of the devotee is simply to please the Lord. And all of this happens automatically. So he attains the Lord and he serves the Lord in that position. He gets the spiritual form in the spiritual world and a spiritual relationship, and he serves the Lord. So that is the goal, to simply serve the Supreme Lord in this world. So that is done by direct realization. The Lord appears to the devotee. He becomes visible to the devotee at a certain stage, and then the Lord serves him in a spiritual body. So that is achieved by sadhana, in which we use the material body and the senses and the mind, through that process eventually we attain a spiritual body and we serve the Lord directly in that body. Yeah, it's like the transparent via media is like the wire. That's like the gold wire or the silver wire. And the opposite would be the iron or the aluminum wire. So there's no electricity going through, or very little electricity will go through a non-conductor. And a good conductor will have a lot. So transparent via media means a person who, by his devotion and consequently very little anartas, can transmit that bhakti shakti of the Lord very nicely. So therefore he is quite potent spiritually. Transparent meaning, in a sense, he's a good conductor. Transparent via media. Another example would be like a glass. So we have a cloudy glass, and then we have a clear glass. So the clear glass transmits the light very nicely, and we get brightness. And if we have a cloudy glass with smoky color in it, then we get less light. We get some light, but less light. And of course, if it's opaque, completely black, then we won't get any light coming through, and then it's dark. So we have a transparent means, more light comes through.
When the Kamadhikari comes to Madhyam platform to preach, so he still sees, does he discriminate, or how he manages the both ocean?
Well, we have examples like Narada Muni, or even Krishna himself. He's beyond the material world, but out of mercy then he will discriminate and whatever like that. So sometimes they may do that by the will of the Lord. Generally the devotees in the material world who are doing sadhana and go through bhava and prema, they become so absorbed in the Lord that they forget about the material world, so they don't, that's why they don't even do anything here. because they simply become absorbed in the Lord. But then the Lord gives them a spiritual body and they go to the spiritual world. How there?
Receptivity.
Well, as I said, the receptivity is caused by pranipat, that's humility, and the prayaprashna, the eagerness to get knowledge. Yeah? Eagerness to understand, and the humility. Yeah? So by that, then we can absorb knowledge very easily.
Can you say that devotional service is infective also?
Yes.
That infection, if you associate it with the other devotee, does you get infection?
Infection.
You get
infection?
Yeah.
Oh, well, infections are usually negative things, aren't they? Of course, if we take it in a positive way, yes, then it's a positive infection. Because bhakti is not a disease. But of course, we can use that for the material infection, yes. We get materially infected with disease and material desires, etc. So that, in that sense, yes, it is a very material association is very infectious.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.